This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, on night four, the final night of the Republican National Convention, President Trump tells America nothing is impossible.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
My fellow Americans, tonight with a heart full of gratitude and boundless optimism, I profoundly accept this nomination for President of the United States.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We will make America safer. We will make America stronger. We will make America prouder. And we will make America greater than ever before. I am very, very proud to be the nominee of the Republican Party. I love you all. God bless you, and God bless America.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. Well, we've come to the conclusion of the 2 weeks of the party conventions done in a very unique way, and they were both very different in the way that they were visually presented to the American people. Of course, we didn't have the usual arenas and this kind of city takeovers that we would see in the past. And last night, of course, the most important night, just like it was last Thursday for the Democrats, last night the most important night for Republicans and for President Trump, as it was really the whole week builds up to his remarks. And I'll tell you something. I think these mayors across the country in big cities, liberal mayors, may be kicking themselves that they didn't let those arenas be used, even at more limited capacity because of the COVID, in a safe way. Because of what this allowed President Trump to do, to host, basically have these different spots in, across the country, but also in Washington, D.C., and then at the White House, culminating last night at the White House with the fireworks in D.C. And all the spectacle there. I think that, to me, and we won't take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110, but to me, it's really just, even you could just watch these without any sound. And you can almost make your decision about who you like based off that. But you know what I mean? Like visually, you can there's such a difference in what was presented by the left, the Democrats, and what was presented by Republicans. I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Than, you're in Washington now. I mean, it was quite a different spectacle. It was quite a different viewing experience than last week when, it was not because they're Democrats. Usually, I'd be almost more tuned in because I'd want to see what attacks they were making. And it was putting me to sleep. The quality was bad. It was all pre-taped. These kind of just dull speeches. And then Biden's speech to me was just so red and so looking at one part of a teleprompter without any kind of emotion. It was tough to watch. It was just tough to watch. Even the left admitted that. This was a spectacle for everyone. And that's the part one of this is getting eyes on it. And making people tune in, even if it's only for clips of it. You know, they talk about these, how long do people watch the whole thing? Most people can't. They still got to take care of their family, their kids. They don't have 3 hours to watch. But what they see from it over these next few days, the imagery is so different.
Yeah, Jordan, usually when you watch these conventions, they look pretty much the same as each other. Of course, you're going to get different contrasting viewpoints, different proposals for going ahead, but the visual impact is the same. Jordan, that was not the case. I mean, the way these rolled out allowed for a huge contrast between the two of them. And look, Washington, D.C. is a little bit of an interesting place right now, but what a backdrop that was for the president to present his vision for the next 4 years. And Jordan, I got to tell you, I think he did exactly what I would have hoped, which was he started by looking back and he got very specific about accomplishments from the economy and taxes to foreign affairs and national security. And then he looked forward. Jordan, the pivot was very clear about halfway through that speech. But you're right, just visually, the contrast between the two, that's the biggest difference from previous years where most conventions would look the same. These did not look the same at all.
And remember, since this convention, the Democrats have decided, one, they've gone out with the message of don't debate Trump, and two, Joe Biden is actually going to hit the campaign trail in a limited way, but that shows you they're nervous. And when those liberal media outlets act real angry afterwards and disgusted, that means you did your job as the conservatives, and the Republicans did their job. I want your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. We'll walk you through the night. We'll take your calls.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Lines are full, and I do want to get your thoughts, and we're going to take a lot of calls today. We're going to play some sound bites for you too, because I know for most folks out there to be able to, if you weren't tuned into like a C-SPAN type outlet, you may have missed some of the speakers as well. Now we're going to kind of focus on just a handful of them because we just don't have the time. But you know, I'll kind of tell you how we're going to walk through this today, so that you kind of know what to expect on the show, because I don't want to just go back forth, kind of go through each speaker because there was a buildup happening. First, you had, Dana White from the UFC. It's such an interesting contrast to have him, the UFC head of UFC, Ultimate Fighting, and then, you know, Franklin Graham later on. It kind of shows this coalition that President Trump has put together. But, you know, you had Carl and Marsha Mueller, who were the parents of Kayla Mueller, who was killed by ISIS, and the contrast they made that if, you know, President Obama had taken quicker action, she would be there tonight. And they believe that she would be alive if President Trump was the president when she was captured by ISIS, that it was President Obama who wasn't taking quick enough action. And that's from the parents, you know, and they were willing to get involved politically and make that statement. So we'll play some of that. Of course, Mayor Giuliani, who we worked with, of course, with representing President Trump in our private capacity. I think what he had to say was very interesting, because then what we saw what occurred after the event was over at the White House. And I will tell you, I've attended a lot of events at the White House before. Even if you're a U.S. senator, even if you're a member of Congress, everybody doesn't get to drive right up to the door. That's mostly for staff and, you know, a few like cabinet level executive branch people. So if you are a member of Congress or like a senator, you might just be walking out, you know, through the street to jump in your car that's waiting for you, especially when there's that many people there. Now, if you're a U.S. senator like Rand Paul, you have security. But there were a lot of people who didn't. They may not be as recognizable, but certainly you could see who was coming out of the White House, you know, wearing suits and ties, who had just attended this event. So listen to what Mayor Giuliani said. This was earlier in the night, of course, before the event was over. This was during the last night of the RNC. Take a listen.
It is clear that a vote for Biden and the Democrats creates the risk that you will bring this lawlessness to your city, to your town, to your suburb. There is no question that this awesome job of restoring safety for our people cannot be done from your basement, Joe.
I mean, that is strong language. He talked about how, you know, the Democrats, Joe Biden will turn your city into New York City, which is a wasteland right now. It is. I mean, it's a deserted wasteland. It's dangerous. Crime is way up. And that's happening in a lot of big liberal cities across the country. But Than, last night, so after Mayor Giuliani, good friend of ours, and we were colleagues, made his speech about this idea of no law and order in the protest. We had a U.S. Senator, Rand Paul, who said he was nearly killed, and there's video footage of it. I mean, believes that if he hadn't had the security that he had and the police that he had, the escort he had, and he was with his wife and some family friends who had attended the speech for at the convention on the White House lawn, that he would have been killed. I mean, this is, again, it just proved Rudy Giuliani's point, is that when you encourage that kind of lawlessness and protest, and you won't put your foot down ever and say, okay, this has gone too far, this will come to your town. And literally, after the president spoke, it came right to a U.S. senator who's got a lot more protection than most moms and dads driving their kids around in their city. They don't have police escorts. They don't have security.
Yeah, Jordan, this was a scary situation. I mean, if you watch the footage, Senator Paul and his wife, I don't blame him for saying that he believes his life was in jeopardy had it not been for the police, because the mob was upon him, Jordan, and they were after him. And I will just say this, the contrast between the security that Senator Paul would have, the attention that he got from the police, which it's on stark display, because there are other people in Washington, D.C., Jordan, who are dining on outdoor sidewalks, who are being accosted by the same mob, and they don't have security. So I really do think that this is going to be front and center in this election. And I think I've said it on this broadcast before, Jordan, but I think this is going to be the number two issue. I mean, I think the economic impact will be number one, but I think safety on our streets and in our communities, and it's not just Washington, D.C., it's cities across America, and I think it's fair to say suburbs as well. Jordan, it is spreading. If you look at that footage last night and you think, if that was not a United States senator, what would have happened? I think it would have been very tragic. And by the way, Jordan, just one other thing. How ironic is it? Senator Paul is actually the author of the Breonna Taylor Act, which reforms no-knock raids. So the mob, Jordan, they didn't have any idea who they were going afterwards. He was with them on that issue.
No, they didn't care. He was a Republican.
Yep.
And he'll be voting for President Trump, even though sometimes he disagrees with President Trump. He's very vocal about that. And like you said, he was actually on their side on the no-knock warrants, but it didn't matter. He was walking out of the White House in a tie. See, it won't matter for you either. Folks, that's what Rudy Giuliani's warning you about. That's what the president's trying to warn you about, is it won't matter what position you took. It's just where you walked out of, what you're coming from, maybe what the color of your skin is, who you're with, are you vulnerable? And I'll tell you, in Washington, I'm used to being at events where there's a lot of protesters outside that get in your face and scream. They don't threaten your life. They're nasty. They're mean, but they're just doing it verbally. They might sometimes try to block streets and stuff like that, but they're not taking it to a point where you feel like they're about to throw a punch at you or try to take you down or attack you. It's just part of like Washington. This is not that, folks. I mean, I'm watching it right now as it's on Fox News in our studio. This is not that. When there's physical contact going on, that's another level. And Rudy Giuliani said it again. Do you want your town to be New York City, which is now a wasteland? Because it became a head at looting, and it's Fifth Avenue is still boarded up. Take a listen, because you've seen the footage. Now take a listen.
New Yorkers wonder, how did we get overwhelmed by crime so quickly and declined so fast? Don't let Democrats do to America what they have done to New York.
Than, you just put something in the chat, and if you're comfortable sharing it with people. I mean, I think this is just very telling. You're in Washington, D.C., and I lived there for 10 years, and obviously we're there a lot as well. But you just said something that I think hits home to this bigger message and why I think the Democrats are changing their entire strategy. So they're putting out, we don't want to debate, and Joe Biden's going to do some campaigning. He's going to leave the basement and take that, I guess, un-PC move that the liberals tried to pull, like you could run this whole thing from a basement, because they're, I think, very worried about losing that suburban mom vote. But just help, if you're comfortable with it, tell people what you just told us in the chat.
Yeah, it's different this time, Jordan. I mean, I've lived here for 20 years. I'm raising my family here. We love this city. It's a city that we've embraced, and we would normally spend a lot of time in the city. I've never had any fear of having my family in the city, Jordan. And in fact, some of the robust debate that you talk about, the protest, I think that's a strength of America, that we allow that and that we allow people of different viewpoints. It has never been a problem for me, Jordan. In this moment, as of the last couple of weeks, I would not bring my family to Washington, D.C. to eat on one of these outdoor restaurants. restaurants and dining facilities that is open. It's just not safe at this moment. And why is it not safe? Jordan, I hate to say this because I've worked closely with the D.C. government in very many ways. Jordan, they are not taking seriously protecting people who are doing business and consuming in Washington, D.C. They are following the lead of other cities across the nation and allowing these violent, they call them protests, but Jordan, these are mobs in this case, get out of control. I'll be honest with you. It's a city I love. It's a city that my family cannot be in right now for purposes of eating outside on the street. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and that is just, it's so telling right there. I mean, that's from Than. He's in Washington, D.C. every day. He's been there even during, you know, COVID, when we've had to have limited staff of the office going into the city every day. He's talked about it being boarded up, talked about how empty it feels. And yet, even with some of the limited reopening, someone who's lived there, you know, for most of their adult life, or all of their adult life, really, and saying that, you know, they wouldn't be comfortable taking their kids to go eat. So just imagine what that's like to your town. I think that's going to, if they continue with these protests and that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris continue to encourage these kind of protests, it will backfire in a way that we didn't even see in the last, in 2016, with another group of silent majority, a group that even may be less likely to cast a vote for President Trump, who say, you know what, I don't trust those guys, like Rudy said, to run this from their basement. And if you're not going to debate, if you can't even do a debate against the other guy that you want to, and you want to become President of the United States and figure out all of those issues that the country's dealing with right now, well, but you can't debate, then we've got real issues. So when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think the Biden campaign and the DNC, they got a wake-up call. The polls started tightening. They got no bump from Kamala Harris's announcement. They got no bump from their convention. And actually, the polls got closer and tighter. And we know that Donald Trump underpolls. I mean, that's just a known factor. And so their whole campaign strategy, as of last night, shifted because they were announcing, as President Trump was speaking, oh, now Joe Biden will be out on the campaign trail some. That was not the plan. Oh, and they've got Nancy Pelosi saying, we're not going to do, you know, don't debate and come up with excuses why not to debate President Trump. You know why he doesn't want to debate President Trump. No one wants to debate President Trump. Let me tell you, someone spent a lot of time with him. You better be pretty good on your feet. You better be pretty quick, and you better be able to take a punch and deliver one. And Joe Biden doesn't appear like he's had that kind of power so far. So this whole idea that Pelosi's throwing out there is a distraction. But I think that will backfire, folks. That will backfire. I just don't think you can get away with that to be president of the United States. Remember, this is our final few days, our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. You can double the impact of your donation. Donate today, ACLJ.org. It's how we bring you this broadcast every day and all the work that we do because of your support. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double your impact. We take your calls when we get back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So, of course, we talked about what happened to Senator Paul. And, you know, again, you could submit an entire show on that and what Rudy Giuliani and President Trump had to say about, you know, keeping America's city safe and getting law and order restored in our country again, or else this is what will happen. But I do want to walk through the night because I think this is the most important night of the convention. It's the final nights when the president speaks, and it's the buildup to the president as well. It's the contrast you're making with the party you're running against. And what touched me the most, the entire night, because of just the fact that I know what it's like to get up on a stage and give a speech. And you know, it's one thing if you're doing it for your work. It's quite another if you're talking about your daughter who was killed by ISIS. And you're doing it on a stage that's partisan, that you know you'll get the partisan pushback, that people say, oh, you're just doing this because you're Republicans, or you know, you're using your daughter's death for politics. But no, in this case, folks, I will tell you, you don't just get up on stage and do that and deliver that message. You do that because what you're saying, you actually truly believe in your heart, and it's how you're trying to remember your daughter who was killed by ISIS. But this was Carl and Marsha Muller, whose daughter Kayla was captured by ISIS and ultimately killed by ISIS. I want to walk through some of their remarks last night. They were deeply personal and I think deeply moving. Bite 18.
To this day, we've never heard from Joe Biden. Instead, the Obama administration hid behind policy so much that we felt hopeless when they kept us from negotiating to save Kayla's life. The administration showed more concern for the terrorists in Guantanamo than the American hostages in Syria.
Than, when you hear her father talk about that, we've had that, we've dealt with that before. We already had the contrast this week. Two of our clients were alive and there, who were facing, one was facing a long-term prison sentence, Pastor Brunson, Turkey. Another, Pastor Naren, this indefinite detention in India, and he's got a disabled daughter, special needs at home, and he can't get back for nearly a year, and he completely cut off from his family. And the Trump administration makes them a priority. And because they know that if you don't handle it quickly, it can get out of control. And if you let someone spiral into a prison system in Turkey, their life is at risk. If you let someone be held by ISIS too long, their life is definitely at risk. And I think we saw I just want to remind people, you saw the contrast. President Trump's administration does everything it can to bring Americans who are wrongfully detained, whether it's by a terrorist group or whether it's by a country, home. Does that mean you're always going to be successful? No. But will they put every card on the table for each person, each individual life of an American? Absolutely. And then we saw that when President Trump put sanctions on Turkish leaders for Pastor Brunson and then said, and if you don't release him by the next day, it will be sanctions on your entire country. It will be sanctioned by the U.S. No business can be done between Turkey and the U.S., which means Turkey could not have done business with any financial institution in the world, really.
Yeah, Jordan, this was the moment of the night for me. It really was, and really for two reasons. One personal and then one substantive, as you alluded to. First of all, personally, the strength that it took for Kayla's parents to get up on that stage and talk about the abuse that Kayla suffered at the hands of ISIS and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Jordan, I mean, riveting moment, and I'm with you. I think the only reason they take that stage, if they think that additional lives that were going to be in the place of that Kayla was in could be saved, and they genuinely believe that President Trump would be the one to do that. And Jordan, the second reason really dovetails off that. It's because we have seen firsthand the contrast that they are talking about. I mean, if you go back before this administration, Jordan, I will just tell our listeners directly, it is like pulling teeth to get the bureaucracy of the Foreign Service inside the State Department. Sure, there are people who care, but what does it take for the bureaucrats to get the force of the United States government behind them? Jordan, it takes the leader of the bureaucracy. It takes the president of the United States to make it a priority. And in previous cases, Jordan, presidents have not been willing to set aside economic interest, to put human rights interest on par with it. That has not been the case for this administration. So that's the second reason it made it the moment of the night for it, is because when they said, Jordan, that this president has made it to be a priority, We know that to be true, and we know it in a wide array of cases. Jordan, if that's the only thing that people watched, I think they would walk away with a clear choice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this says it all right here, Byte 19.
The military prepared a rescue mission, but the White House delayed it. By the time it went forward, Kayla had been moved to another location. After 18 months of brutal torture, we learned from ISIS that Kayla had been killed. The Obama administration kept telling us they were doing everything they could, but their version of everything wasn't enough.
You know, remember, it was Joe Biden who was against the raid on Osama bin Laden. Joe Biden voted against that raid. Thankfully, President Obama did the right thing, moved forward with it, and the other cabinet members who had a vote on that decided to move forward with it. So we know he's even weaker when it comes to making decisions like that. And we know because it's been reported by its administration. So it's not just some kind of like speculation. That's the truth. So they kept, you know, they delay. Joe Biden never even called the family. Now that's while he's vice president of the United States, never even called the family. Contrast that with what they think it would have been like if President Trump was president of the United States for their daughter. Byte 21.
The Trump team gave us empathy we never received from the Obama administration. The Obama administration said it was doing everything it could. The Trump administration is. Let me just say this. Kayla should be here. If Donald Trump had been president when Kayla was captured, she would be here today.
You know, think about that. That's from her father. That if President Trump was in office then, she'd be here today. She'd be alive. And then I want you to hear her mother. This is with her father and her mother. I mean, this and understand how tough it is to give this speech. In that environment, partisan, it's a highly polarized country right now. You're bringing back up you'll never get over, which is the killing of your daughter by a horrendous terrorist group, which, remember, has now been basically destroyed and eliminated by who? President Trump and his administration. Eliminated. You know, now they're at the point now where we're going after the ISIS financiers. You don't hear much about ISIS on the ground anymore, do you? Well, we killed their leader. And we also took out all their street fighters too. And that was under the Trump administration. So listen to her mother as well.
8 months into Kayla's captivity, another hostage was able to smuggle out a letter Kayla had written. As we read it, we could see that God was holding her in his arms. In her words, she felt tenderly cradled in freefall. She also wrote, "I have been shown in darkness light and have learned that even in prison one can be free. I am grateful. I have had many hours to think how only in your absence have I finally at 25 years old come to realize your place in my life. None of us could have known it would be this long, but no, I am also fighting for my side in the ways I am able, and I have a lot of fight left inside of me. I am not breaking down, and I will not give in, no matter how long it takes. Kayla taught me so many things as her mom. She's still teaching us."
You know, we're able to represent those families, whether it's, you know, Saeed Abedini's, whether it's Pastor Naren, Pastor Brunson, at no cost, so that we can work with the administrations, whether it's a tough one to work with, like the Obama one, or much better one to work with, like the Trump administration, because of your support of the ACLJ. This is our matching challenge. It ends at the end of this month. Donate today at aclj.org. Support our work.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are about to start taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. So what have we already gotten through? It was the final night last night of the Republican National Convention. So we talked about Rudy Giuliani's message and then what happened to Senator Rand Paul. And this idea that we've got to restore law and order, and you can't do that from your basement. And you can't do that while you're encouraging these kind of this lawlessness. And then we saw last night what happened on the streets of Washington, D.C. to a U.S. senator who had security. And it was actually in a physical tussle. So it wasn't just protesters screaming nasty things. Do you want that in your town? We talked about that. Do you want that in your city? Do you want your hometown to look like New York? Boarded up wasteland. And it's sad to say that about New York. I love New York. You're taking my family there. Spent a lot of time there as well. And the fact that, you know, that we don't even know when that will be back to where. Obviously, we do a lot of work there because of the United Nations being there and our status there. Than spent a lot of time there as well. I mean, they're up and back all the time. And that makes it more difficult. So we talked about that. We talked about the Carl and Marsha Mueller's remarks, the parents of Kayla Mueller, who was killed by ISIS, the fact that they believe that if it was the Trump administration in charge, that she would be there tonight. She'd be alive. Because the Obama administration dragged its feet on a raid to try and save her. And as we know, and we can tell you, the Trump administration does not drag its feet. They will put everything on the table, every card on the table, to try and save just a single American life who's being held either by a country or a terrorist group, illegally. And we know that because the clients we've represented, the contrast that we've done with, you know, when we represented Saeed Abedini, had to go before congressional hearings, had to do TV every single day to try and get the administration's attention, go to the State Department dozens of times over and over and over again just to try and get through all the bureaucracy. Ultimately that was resolved, but I mean, it took so much pressure, so many resources. You know, most people wouldn't have that. Why did he have that? Because of you that support the ACLJ financially. But it was a lot different for Pastor Brunson. Now, it was 2 years in prison, but ultimately, every card was put down on the table, including the card of, we will cut you off economically, even though you're a NATO ally, Erdogan, and he was released. And for Pastor Narin in India, same thing. You want economic sanctions right now, India? Maybe you should release Pastor Narin. Released. Those were ACLJ clients. We're able to represent those families at no cost because of you. And this is a great month to support the work of the ACLJ. Why is that? It's because of Matching Challenge Month. It only goes till Monday. That's the last day of the month, August 31st at midnight. Whatever you donate at ACLJ.org, we get a match for. So we have donors who say, whatever you raise this month, we will match that. We're going to donate that same amount. So if you donate $20 right now at ACLJ.org, that's like $40, but you're only charged $20. So you take that action. It's very important. It's how we do the work that we do. It's how we represent these families. Now we're going to start getting into more. As the show goes on, we're going to get more into your calls. We're going to get more into the politics of the night with Ivanka Trump and of course, President Trump as well, the most important speech of the night. Quickly, I want to take a call because Michelle's been on and let her for a half hour. I want to take that call right away. Michelle in North Carolina, line 3. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Jordan, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the last 4 nights have been the best television program that I've seen in decades, and it's because it's the epitome of what we are supposed to be as America, and it's the epitome of President Trump's America. From the time he was inaugurated, he said that this was about giving the power back to the people, and day after day after day, he's putting everyday Americans behind a podium to speak about how his policies, how his compassion, how his administration has made their lives better. And I think the contrast is you have people, I mean, I was crying many nights, you know, and then you're laughing. But it's because it's the American spirit for us to share in one another's burdens.
I think you keyed on it right there. It's the American spirit, the ups and downs that we kind of take together as a country, as a people. And we want that unity, right? We want to feel that unity. And the other side just feels like they want to tear everybody apart and put us all into these boxes. You're in this box, bad. You're in this box, good. You're in this race. You're in this group, so you vote this way. If you're black, everybody thinks the same. If you're Latino, there's differences. Remember, Joe Biden said that. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to take more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Okay, now let's jump into the meat of it. So you've got Ivanka Trump, who then introduces her father, President Trump. We can't get to every speaker on the broadcast, and I can't even get to every issue that I would love to. I tried to on social media that, you know, Ben Carson talked about it, that others talked about, Tom Cotton talked about her, Mitch McConnell talked about her, Dana White talked about her, Franklin Graham, we played some from Rudy, or Ann Dorn. But you know, I think that there's some issues that we want to key in on to make sure you know were brought up every night of the convention. What was interesting is that the Democrats, in their national platform this year, which you do at your convention, they adopted a platform to call for the abolishment of all school choice programs.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night, what did you hear from the GOP convention? Jordan, you heard more focus on school choice than I've ever heard on any major platform before. In fact, the moment where President Trump said that in the next 4 years, one of his highest priorities was going to be to make sure that every family in the United States had the opportunity to have school choice and to choose the school that their child was going to go to. Jordan, that was a very pivotal moment. Yep. Because you know this better than most. This is a president that once he puts that on the priority list, he's not going to rest until it's accomplished. And it's especially important in this moment, Jordan, because we're in this moment where they're actually negotiating what is going to be done with dollars that go to schools if there's ever another coronavirus stimulus package. And Jordan, it's not entirely clear that there will be school choice inside those dollars. So for the president to use last night as a platform to make that a priority, I can just tell you, boots on the ground, very, very helpful in the midst of those negotiations.
I'm going to ask you a little bit then too, because I want people, because we haven't gotten really update on that much because of the Democrat convention and then of course the Republican convention, there hasn't been as much discussion even in the news about what's going to happen on this COVID relief. So I want to know, get from you. I know the president's done what he can through executive orders and powers, and he said he could even do like a PPP through executive order potentially as well. So where is Congress on this COVID relief? Will it include the school funding program? But I think it's important to point out, every single night of the Republican National Convention, school choice was discussed. The Democrats want to abolish it for the poor kids. They want to take it away from the black kids, from the kids who are economically hurting, from the poorest areas, from the toughest neighborhoods. and from kids with special needs, kids with that you know, need to be at a different school, and they don't offer that at the public school in their zip code. They want to abolish it. Republicans talked about expanding it innovatively to every American. Every single night of the convention, a number of speakers brought it up. And last night, Ben Carson talked about it, Dr. Carson talked about it, but in her speech to introduce her father, Ivanka Trump, she also discussed the need for broader access to school choice for Americans. Take a listen, Byte 138.
We want a society where every child can live in a safe community and go to a great school of their choice. We want a culture where differences of opinion and debate are encouraged, not canceled, where law enforcement is respected, where our country's rich diversity is celebrated, and where people of all backgrounds, races, genders, and creeds have the chance to achieve their God-given potential. This is the future my father is working to build each and every day.
And then here, the president, as Stan pointed out, where does he want to go with school choice? Listen, parents, especially all of you, we know that, you know, close to 2,000 of you have contacted us for assistance because of all the problems you're facing, serious hardships you're facing, and we're starting to solve those problems for families. Of course, does it cost them anything? They get legal. A lot of these, it was interesting. We are representing a lot of these families, they have special needs kids, or they have, they don't economically, you know, they didn't have the internet speed that they needed to do virtual learning at home, or the computers or tablets to do it at home. And that's all they were looking for from their school district that they pay their taxes into, and that we all pay our taxes into, to have those public schools, which is, you know, then a constitutional right that, you know, equal protection. It's got to be equal. So we're able to do all of that, though, and solve these problems and represent those families who are having those difficulties at no cost to them because you support the work of the ACLJ. And if you donate throughout the month of August, of course, this only goes until Monday at midnight. Remember, your donation is effectively doubled. You double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. Because I will tell you, many of, and it's up on our blog, the first blog that we really put up about the kind of victories that we're already seeing, the early victories, the quick victories, were families who had asked the school already and were getting zero response. And then the ACLJ contacted the school or the superintendent, whatever the appropriate authority was, and they got a letter from a law firm. And for those families, guess what? They got the tablets. They got the internet access. They got the food. They got what they needed. But they did try on their own. There's no way they could have ever afforded an attorney, by the way, to do that for them. And never with the kind of expertise we have. I mean, the same attorneys that represent the President of the United States. As we talked about, one night we had three clients sitting there. President Trump in our individual capacity. And as the ACLJ president, you had Pastor Brunson and Pastor Nairn all together. Think about all those families. With your donations, that's who you're helping. That's who we're assisting. Because school districts respond when they get a letter from the ACLJ. And you can oftentimes resolve these things quickly. And that's the point. You don't want to have to go to court. If we do, we will. We have the resources to do it because of you. Support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org. Donate today. You have until only Monday to take part in that match where you double the impact of your donations at aclj.org. But listen to President Trump. So Joe Biden wants to end, and the Democrats, they want to abolish all school choice programs in the United States. Abolish it because they are owned by teachers' unions, public schools teachers' unions. And so what do they put? They put first, they put the teachers first, not the kids. They put the unions first, not the kids. Teachers are extremely important, but the kids are more important. I think most good teachers out there know that. They understand that. Take a listen to President Trump.
Biden also vowed to oppose school choice and close all charter schools, ripping away the ladder of opportunity for Black and Hispanic children. In a second term, I will expand charter schools and provide school choice to every family in America. And we will always treat our teachers with the tremendous respect that they deserve.
Exactly what I was just, you know, pointing to. It's not that the teachers aren't important. It's their unions that the Democrats are owned by, to the point now where they want to rip all school choice programs away from the poorest kids in the country. Most school choice programs are only available to kids who are really the poorest of the poor, hurting the most economically, or have some special need that the public school district that they're in just doesn't have the right teachers for or set up for. So they need to be, so it's not necessarily that their parents, they just need to be able to utilize those funds to go to the right school for them. It's not like everyone has those school choice right now. You know, it's really only a pretty limited group. And so, Dan, I mean, I think there's a lot of parents out there right now. I'm dealing with my own friends making these decisions every single day in these pod schools that are popping up. Parents understand this if I'm using these terms. If you don't have a young children, you might not. But basically people putting together their own schools at each other's homes and kind of hiring teachers as a group of families to come in and teach their kids because of just the uncertainty around their school. And those are people who can afford to do that. And they're still dealing with a lot of problems. And then President Trump just told all those folks, some of them who might not be likely Trump voters, you know, that might be put off, as Ivanka said, by the rhetoric or by his tough tone or by the words he uses, that I want to get a voucher program for you, not just for the, it won't just be for the poorest of the poor. And I think we should help them first, but for everybody.
It's interesting you bring that up now, Jordan, because I literally have on my to-do list after the work day is over to go and pick up what is needed for my kids to participate in online classes, a microphone, webcams, things of that nature. Look, now more than ever, school choice makes sense, not just for people who would have utilized it before, but also for students who are now displaced from the option that they would have liked to receive. And here's another thing, Jordan, and I know from having worked with the Department of Education on this that President Trump is in favor of this. We have got to give more support to states and localities who are trying to provide these options to parents of students. There's $68 billion that comes out of the federal government, but almost all of it has ties and restrictions on it that make almost all of it, Jordan, only available for local school districts. This is something that Secretary DeVos is trying to change and is trying to make more of that available to teachers, to parents of students. And Jordan, here's the other little thing, and the teachers unions don't want you to know this, but if you ask individual teachers, most of them will tell you this. If that were the structure, they would actually get more support to make their classes oriented to the needs of their student. They would not be as controlled by the teachers union. Many of them feel like their hands are tied by it. So in the end, it would be win-win for everyone except for who? Jordan, the political class of the left.
We get back. We'll take your calls. I promise more of your calls. You know, Jerry's been holding on the line. 1-800-684-3110. Get your calls in now. Support the work of the ACLJ. We fight for life, too. The unborn, the president talked about that. We're going to play that when we come back and more from his speech. ACLJ.org, double the impact your donation. If you donate by Monday at midnight, it's just through the month of August, you can be part of our matching challenge. It's how we do the work we do. It's how we do the broadcast and bring it to you every day. ACLJ.org, donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we talked about school choice. I'm going to take Jerry's call right off the bat. If you want to talk to us in there, you got to get your call in now. 1-800-684-3110. We've wanted to cover a lot today because it was the final night of the Republican convention. A lot happened, but if you want to get on the, it's 1-800-684-3110. And Jerry's been holding on. Jerry, thank you for holding on. I appreciate that. Wanted to get to this certain point, so we're going to get into President Trump's. Where he talks about life as well, the pro-life battle, and the contrast there between what Joe Biden supports and what he does. But, Jerry, appreciate you holding. I know you wanted to talk, too, about just kind of what you thought of, because this is what we're asking people, this the difference between the conventions and how effective you believe the Republican convention was. We talked about the Democrat convention. It showed that it hasn't been very effective. There wasn't some huge bounce. But was this a game changer? Jerry, what do you think?
I think Michelle put it great when she added to your word what you call a spectacle. She said it was a spirit of heritage. I call it a pageantry of what Washington is. It's sad that Than can't even take his own kids out in the streets. I lived there southeast. But the big thing, and now that I want to comment, because every other bullet you already hit, was what happened to Rand Paul. As a retired police officer, Rand said something. I didn't see it. He said he had to catch the police officer who was falling at his feet. He had to catch him by his SWAT vest to push him back up into the cordon. Otherwise, the protesters were going to get to him and his wife. That's a soundbite, that he had to hold up the police officer. Yep. Otherwise, the bad guys were getting to him. But I think it was pageantry. That's my comment. You'd need 8 hours to cover all the big bullet points just from
sure.
last night. And the whole thing, people are saying Trump's speech was flat. You know why? Because the individual stories were so amazing.
Well, I think what the president was trying to do last night, remember, he's been highly criticized, Thad, that, well, what's this message going forward? You know, because I think it's because he's been dealing with COVID. He's been dealing with a lot of, he's been being president. So honestly, the first thing on his mind wasn't just the campaign and elections, even though people want to say he's like politically obsessed, but actually dealing with the crisis of now that the country's dealing with. Because I want an update on where this Congress is on actually dealing with that economically. Or is it going to be all left to the president as usual, and he'll step in and do what he has to do to keep the economy afloat? But I think what he did with that speech, and why some people say, oh, it's too long, was that he laid out on every single issue now where he wants to go. And so moving forward, this is just the opening of the campaign. Really, most people consider after Labor Day the start of the presidential campaign. So what he did was, for everybody out there who is a supporter or is wondering, he talked about every issue. Every issue and where he wanted to go with it. So, Stan, what's Congress doing? Is it going to all be up to President Trump? And this idea, again, on because I want to get to his pro-life comments as well. They were so strong. Of course, what he did in the Middle East, right, you know, moving the first president, and every president's had the authority to do it, but no Republican. The Bushes didn't do it. Democrats didn't do it. But Congress has given the authority to move our embassy in Israel, out of Tel Aviv to Israel's capital, Jerusalem, and the others wouldn't do it. He did it, and they said, oh, this is going to cause disaster in the Middle East. And then a few weeks ago, which the media doesn't like talking about, he brokered a peace deal and a trade deal. Literally, you could take a flight with the Star of David on it from El Al, from Jerusalem, and land right now in Dubai and do business as a Jew from Israel, with a Muslim Arab from the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and it's a peace deal and an economic deal brokered by the Trump administration that put the capital in Jerusalem. It didn't cause backlash. It's actually led to historic peace deals. Have you heard a lot out of Iran, by the way, recently about their nuclear program? I mean, Stan, I just put all that together. I think that what he did was lay it out for us.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. And I mean, look, those that think it was too long or maybe that it was flat. And, you know, I think maybe most convention speech aimed for 40 or 50 minutes to keep the attention span. But, Jordan, what would you have cut out? I mean, it was basically a list of accomplishments. And if you would have cut out any of the things that you just ran through in the Middle East, I think it would have been a disservice to voters who need to look at what's happened over the last 4 years to make up their mind. So, look, we've talked a lot about the optics and the entertainment value, which, you know, can be very important in politics, Jordan. But the most important thing is to talk about substance. And I thought it was a very effective line-by-line look back at achievements and then look forward at how we will build on that. And Jordan, look, it's going to be important because I will just tell you, I'll just very briefly give you the update on the coronavirus debate. Basically, the Democrats in Washington, D.C., Jordan, have decided that they care more about a postal bailout than they do the next coronavirus stimulus. There is an offer, Jordan. There was an offer on the table from the United States Senate to actually give funding for the postal service, not for everything that was in the coronavirus bill, just for an extension of the unemployment insurance. Jordan, that has been rejected, and Nancy Pelosi has resorted to calling Mark Meadows names and saying he's just a staffer of Secretary Mnuchin's. Jordan, so what do we have? We have the status quo where there is no federal unemployment insurance going forward, and we don't have any package for coronavirus release whatsoever. You know, Nancy Pelosi wants $3.4 trillion. The Republican offer was $1 trillion, but we're getting zero because Democrats have said they want their postal bailout, even though Republicans have said they're willing to go along. So, Jordan, I do think that probably additional actions from the president are going to be necessary before this deal comes together. But we have another fiscal deadline coming up at the end of September. I suspect that might be when a package finally does come together.
I mean, it's just pushing, you know, people to the brink, especially hospitality industry. And you know, the other industries have been able to come back and kind of keep, you know, their people working and get back to business. But your restaurants can't, haven't been able to, and you know, salons, other kind of, you know, with bars, restaurants, venues, they haven't. So, you know, it's pushing them right to the line. And it's, again, they're playing politics with it. And it's the left. It's the Democrats. Same ones that want to abolish school choice. Same ones that don't want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Same ones that do oppose, Joe Biden, the raid on Osama bin Laden. And, again, you know, the list goes on. They're also the same ones who believe that you should be able to abort a baby up until 9 months. And President Trump, you know, I give him this credit. He's not afraid to use the real language when he's talking to the American people about what abortion is and what Planned Parenthood, what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris believe should be legal in the United States, which is what most scientists almost across the board would agree would be infanticide. Let's take a listen, because this is it's just the truth in the toughest, most straightforward terms. And there's Joe Biden cannot say, oh, that's not true, I don't support that, because he does. He just won't say it that way. Take a listen.
Joe Biden claims he has empathy for the vulnerable, yet the party he leads supports the extreme late-term abortion of defenseless babies right up until the moment of birth. Democrat leaders talk about moral decency, but they have no problem with stopping a baby's beating heart in the ninth month of pregnancy. Democrat politicians refuse to protect innocent life, and then they lecture us about morality and saving America's soul. Tonight, we proudly declare that all children, born and unborn, have a God-given right to life.
Folks, as we close out tonight on this broadcast, as that speech closed the evening, I mean, there's so much more we could get to. Maybe we will next week. We'll see kind of what happens through the weekend. It was the night ended too. I think the incredible scenes, the opera singer, God Bless America, then encouraging those who are in attendance, as you're hearing right now, to join in. Support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of a matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. We will talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.